Good afternoon. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's an exciting weekend that we can share together as family. I'm glad we have that particular opportunity in this country. I don't think all countries do that, so it's quite a treat. We'll probably be taking a picnic somewhere, and then we'll hit the pool a little later, cool off a little bit since it has gotten a little warmer here in the last few days. Hope you have a good time wherever you'll be joining together with your family. One amazing thing has been recently taking place on our front porch. We've been watching a little house wren making its nest. We have a little decorative bird feeder that we've put out on the front porch there, and it made its nest in there. And every morning it would get up and it would leave to go collect food for the little chicks that were inside and collect the food for her children. And the little wren would tirelessly work every day. It would leave early, and it would come home late in the day. Sometimes it would go out at lunchtime, and we watched it. It's now gone. Moved out about a week ago. The little chicks had left. But it would return. And no day was different from another. It would tirelessly work, not knowing the difference of the calendar. Of course, God has made us to understand the weekly cycle, hasn't he? And for most of us, Monday will typically start the work week, which ends on Friday. And then we know Saturday and Sunday make up the weekend. And we, too, spend a lot of time working. But there's one day that's different. That's today. Saturday is the Sabbath. So I'd like to answer the question today, what's so special about the Sabbath? We'll answer the question, what is so special about the Sabbath? That's the title of my message here this afternoon. We're going to answer that question, but before we do that, let's go back and review when the Sabbath was given to us. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. I'll be reading this section from the New Living Translation. Mr. Evans used the Message. I like that Message translation as well. Today I'll be using the New Living. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Let's review the Sabbath. When is the Sabbath? Exodus 20, verse 8. Moses records for us, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and your daughters, your male and your female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." So every seventh day since creation is God's Sabbath. And the word here, remember, means to be mindful. And the word holy means to sanctify, or to keep clean. And so this day is set apart by God, sanctified, to be remembered. I'd like to read some comments from timeanddate.com, so they're very clear on when we know the Sabbath is. It says, "The seven-day week is used by the majority of the world and has become the international standard. There are many different opinions as to how the history of the seven-day week came about. But the most common explanation is that the seven-day week seems to have originated when Babylonian astrologers assigned their planet gods to the days of the week, around 700 BCE. Now, we know that to be a little different. We'll find out that in a minute. But they named these names after their planet gods. The Romans then later changed these names with their own planet gods. So most Latin languages derive the names of the 7 days of the week from the Roman period, where they related each day of the week with the seven planets, the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. And the English language has retained these names for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. However, the planet names for the other days of the week, Tuesday through Friday, were replaced by their equivalent Norse gods. In most cultures, Sunday is regarded the first day of the week. And according to the Bible, the Sabbath or Saturday is the last day. And so we have references like Webster that defines the seventh day as Saturday. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, because we know it wasn't the Babylonians that came up with the names, and it wasn't the Norse gods that defined the week. It was God the Father during the creation week, found in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, again from the New Living Translation. Genesis 2 and in verse 2, God created the seven-day week. God outlined the days that we know today. Genesis 2 and verse 2, let's read verse 1. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy." He declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. And so the seventh day, the seven-day week was created by God. Not by man, but by God. Now we have to remind ourselves, how does God count time? You have your handout that I had some help passing out today. If you take your handout, you can look at the first top of the page there, and we can see the difference between how God counts time and how man counts time. I like this illustration. It comes from the old correspondence course we had. Many of you might have it in your library. The Master Bible Correspondence Course, lesson number 24. That's where I pulled that from. It's a good illustration because we can see that God created evening and mornings, and then man, of course, delineates days from midnight to midnight. And it's illustrated here in the picture. And, of course, the names are defined by what we read about from time and date. We look at Genesis chapter 1, just a page back. We see how God counts time. It's much different from our world that we live in, that we have our clocks and our wristwatches that keep track of things for us. Genesis 1, verse 5, God defines the days, evening and morning. And it's a pattern. Verse 8, evening and morning were the second day. Verse 13, evening and morning were the third day. And so it goes through the 7 days. So God has the darkness period, followed by the lightness, or the light that we have, the productivity that we enjoy and get around and do things. Man defines days from midnight to midnight. But it's God who defined the day. And he counts days from sunset to sunset. And so when we turn over to Leviticus 23, verse 32, here it's talking about the Day of Atonement. See in Leviticus 23 and verse 32, it says, "It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening." And so God's Sabbath is from sunset Friday to sunset on Saturday, the seven-day week that we now keep and know. God counts time much differently. But we might ask ourselves, has the Sabbath been changed? Has the Sabbath been changed because of the days that are worshipped today by most of mankind? Let's go over to Luke chapter 16, and we'll prove that it has not been changed. Very solidly, words of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 16. The seven-day week was established by God at creation. It's not been changed, not been abolished in any way. Still exists. Luke 16 and verse 17, Jesus Christ said, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." And so the laws that God outlined at creation, that he gave to us, the Sabbath day, creation week, are still in effect. If we turn over to Romans chapter 3, we can be absolutely certain which day is the Sabbath because God has preserved it for us. Romans 3, verse 1. This is how God's word has been preserved, how his laws have been intact. "What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God." And so it's through the Jews that God has retained his laws. They're recorded for us. They keep the seventh-day Sabbath, which is Saturday, which is the day that we keep as well. And of course, Jesus Christ kept the seventh-day Sabbath, as we know from Luke chapter 4. God used the Jews to preserve his laws, and especially the Sabbath. But man has attempted to change them. Let me read to you from, again, Time and Date. I think you'll find this interesting. In most cultures, Sunday is regarded as the first day of the week. Howevers are interesting, aren't they? However, according to the international standard, ISO 8601, version 2004, Monday shall be the first day of the week, ending with Sunday as the seventh day. Although this is the international standard, countries such as the United States still have their calendars refer to Sunday as the start of the seven-day week. So isn't that interesting? God creates something, yet because our minds are not tuned in with God until God reveals his plan to us and gives us his Holy Spirit, man tries to change things. And so here we have a standard that's written in 2004 that defines the week Monday to Sunday. Now, the Israelite nations still rule this world. But that will change when God decides to pull the plug and bring his kingdom. And so we know from Daniel chapter 7, let's go over there, things will dramatically change. And the Sabbath could become quite an issue for most of us, depending on what the circumstances will be in our life. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23, we know this will come. Daniel 7, verse 23, talking about the four beasts, and we come down to the fourth beast, it says, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces," talking about the Roman Empire. "The ten horns are ten kings who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law." Change the Sabbath to thwart God's plan, attempt to thwart it, to persecute the saints, God's people, and shall intend to change times and law. "Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a times and half a time." And we can go back to Revelation 17 and pick up some more of the details that will occur there. But man, through the influence of Satan, will attempt to change what God has created in the seven-day week. Let me read to you from our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, page 10 and 11. It says, "Most denominations continue to hold their worship services on Sunday. And you can search throughout the Bible, but will find no authority to alter the day of worship. Initially, Christianity was viewed as simply a sect of Judaism. However, after Jewish revolts in AD 67 through 70, and in 132 to 135, Jewish religious practices came to be viewed with hostility throughout the Roman Empire. Many among the church began to abandon these practices, including the observance of the biblical Sabbath and festivals. Observance of Sunday as the primary day of worship appears to have begun to solidify during the reign of Emperor Hadrian in 117 to 135 AD, who harshly persecuted the Jews throughout the Roman Empire. He specifically prohibited practices of Judaism, including the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath. These oppressive measures apparently influenced many to abandon the seventh day and turn to Sunday, the day for honoring the sun god among the Romans and other peoples of the ancient world." And so we have an attempt to change what God has made, the seventh-day Sabbath. But it hasn't changed from creation. If you can look at the bottom of your handout, I've actually included that article from which I've read. And I would encourage you to take some time and go back through God's Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. It's very encouraging to remind ourselves of why we keep the Sabbath, how and why God gave it to us as a tremendous gift. Saturday will always be the seventh day of the week because God is the one who created it. So let's answer the question. What's so special about the Sabbath? What's so special about the Sabbath? I have 4 points. 4 points. Point number one. The Sabbath is holy. The Sabbath is holy. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 31. The Sabbath is holy. God made it a holy day each week. Exodus 31 and verse 14. My Bible, it said it's called the Sabbath law. Exodus 31, verse 14. It says, "You shall keep the Sabbath," going back to the New King James translation. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the seventh day, he shall surely be put to death." The word holy means sacred or set apart. It indicates something that is consecrated and set aside for sacred use. It designates divine holiness. God, who is holy, could only create a holy day. Exodus chapter 15, just a few pages back, verse 11. Only the great one that rules this universe as God the Father could make a day holy. Exodus 15 and verse 11. "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness?" And when we read Exodus 31, it talks about if you work, profane the Sabbath day, that means you pollute it. You desecrate it. Or you make it common, is what the definition is. You make it common like any other day. Like the house wren that didn't know any better because it doesn't understand. But when we don't have that reverence and respect for God's holy day that he's made, we make it common. We make it unclean. We're not consecrating it, keeping it sacred. Let's turn back to Isaiah 58, verse 13. The Sabbath is holy. God made it that way. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. I'd like to read this particular section of Scripture from what's called the New Century Version. Now, Mr. Myers uses this a lot in his writings, and I like this particular phrases here. The New Century Version for verses 13 and 14 reads, in Isaiah 58, "You must obey God's law about the Sabbath and not do what pleases yourselves on that holy day. You should call the Sabbath a joyful day and honor it as the Lord's holy day. You should honor it by not doing whatever you please, nor saying whatever you please on that day." So our focus and our mindset is much different on this day. It should be focused on God's plan, his works, him as creator, how he's working in our lives. It says you should honor it by not doing whatever you please, nor saying whatever you please on that day. "Then you will find joy in the Lord, and I will carry you to the high places above the earth. I will let you eat the crops of the land your ancestor Jacob had. The Lord has said these things." And so the Sabbath is created holy by God the Father. The Life Application Study Bible says, "The day of rest should be observed and regarded not only because Sabbath keeping is a commandment, but also because it is best for us and it honors God. Keeping the Sabbath shows proper respect to God, our Creator, who also rested the seventh day. It unifies our family It sets priorities for them. Our day of rest refreshes us spiritually and physically, providing time when we can gather together for worship and reflect on God without the stress of our everyday activities. And so that's why God made the Sabbath, to give us a day that we can honor Him, appear before Him, refocus our minds if they have perhaps gotten off track, and appear before God. The day is holy. Point number two, the Sabbath was created for our good. The Sabbath was created for our good. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. The Sabbath was created for our good. It's not vice versa. Sometimes we get it mixed up. Mark 2 and verse 27, the words of Jesus Christ, says the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. I think we need to take some time and think about that statement. The great Creator paused and made a day because He knew that we would need a day to take off from the activities of life, to pause, and to reflect upon Him. The expositor's commentary says, to Jesus, the Sabbath was not created for its own sake. It was a gift of God to man. The Sabbath was created for our good. You know, the Jews make so many rules regarding the Sabbath. It's not a joy. They put a hedge, they call it a hedge, around the wall. You can't walk so far. You can't push an elevator button, for those who have been to Jerusalem. That's not God's intent behind the Sabbath day. It's supposed to be a joy, a delight, that we can appreciate the pause and rest. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12. It was created for our good, to enjoy, to take a time out. We give time outs to our kids when they're bad, but God gives us a time out every week. Not because we're bad, because He wants us to take a time out and rest. Exodus 23 and verse 12. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. Refreshed. So God gives it to us that we can be rested, which means we are to desist from our exertion, and we can be refreshed, to take a breath. You know, I think the hardest thing about Friday night is actually flipping the switch and trying to shut your mind off from all the things that have happened in the previous 6 days. Any of you have that problem? I have that problem, because you get so enwrapped in what takes place in our workplace and the things that are going on around us. You come home Friday evening and just, you close the garage door. Mr. Graham used to say, goodbye, cruel world, for 24 hours. And it's hard to shut your mind off. And in a lot of cases, it takes almost the whole Sabbath day to decompress. I think, many, I see a lot of shaking heads out there. I can fully appreciate that, because you get caught up in what goes on. And so when God tells us to take a refresher, to take a breath, just like when you're swimming and you run out of air, you need to come up. You got to take a breath. Mr. Evans talked about appreciating a pause when you're done with running, getting that refreshing water, the Holy Spirit, being refreshed. We need that time, because we need a renewal of energy, both in mind and body. So God created the day for us to pause, take that time off for our physical body and for our spiritual renewal. You know, it's interesting, if you go back and read Genesis, Satan had a trick that he played on Eve, and I think he still tries to get it to work in our lives. He said to Eve, God's depriving you. He played on the pride. And so today our world thinks, well, you're deprived because you keep the Sabbath. Really? Is taking a time off to go before God and to learn His ways and to be refreshed, is that deprivation? I don't think so. But that's the mentality that exists in our world because Satan controls our world. And he influences the circumstances around us so that we feel that way. And if we're not careful, that spirit can wrap us up as well. We feel deprived. No, that's not true. We're not. God made this day for us. Let's go back to Exodus 31, verse 17. The Sabbath was created for our good. God knew we would need it. He made it for us, and he set the example for us to enjoy. Exodus 31, verse 17, the last half, it says, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." The great God, who has all power, has all strength, it says that he rested and he was refreshed. And we need to take that example in our life. Try to shut the mind down, turn the things off that perhaps we're dealing with and wrestling with, the projects that have deadlines that we can never meet, that are improperly scheduled. Ask for some help and guidance, and God will get us through those things. The Life Application Study Bible says, the Sabbath had two purposes. It was a time to rest and a time to remember what God had done. We need rest. Without time out from the bustle, life loses its meaning. And that is so true. If we lose focus, if we don't keep our goal in mind, we can get worn out. In our day, continuing it says, as in Moses' day, taking time out is not easy. But God reminds us that without Sabbaths, we will forget the purpose for all of our activity and lose the balance crucial to a faithful life. Make sure your Sabbath provides a time for both refreshment and remembrance of God. So maybe your family's like ours. We make the Sabbath different. When the boys were little, we used to have different Sabbath toys that only came out on the Sabbath to set that day apart. Now what we do is we have a special Friday night meal. And we have a little bit upgrade in the menu. Well, not mac and cheese. It's not hot dogs on Friday night. To set it apart. And we sit around. Many of you do the same. We have a discussion after the meal's over. We talk about the week. And we try to apply God's principles and His truth to what happened. And then we might talk about a particular thing that evening. We have candles. We light the candles. We have wine glasses. And we toast the kingdom. Several of you have been to our house, and we have the holy days. We toast to the kingdom every Friday night. We set it apart. God wants us to have a different mindset on this day. Sabbath morning, we usually have a brunch. Get up a little later. That's kind of nice, sleep in a little late. Get that refreshment that you need, and then we have a late brunch. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We see the purpose for God's laws, and it certainly applies to the Sabbath day that God made, creation week, Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Moses began to sum up God's law as he was reiterating it to Israel, and he comes down to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, and he says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today." Why? For your good. The Sabbath was created for our good. Keeping God's laws is good. We need to appreciate God's Sabbath day. I think most of us do. Sometimes we can get a little bit off kilter and we need a little redirection. The Sabbath was created for our good. Point number 3, the Sabbath identifies God and his people. The Sabbath identifies God and his people. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. The Sabbath identifies God and his people. Exodus 31 again, verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Why? That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. It helps us to remember that it is God who consecrates us, that it is God who has called us, that it is God who has set us apart for his purpose. Down in verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's not been changed. God created it, and it's perpetual. It's eternal. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. The Sabbath identifies God. It reminds us that he's our creator. And it reminds us that we are his begotten children. God's Sabbath identifies who God is. And it reminds us that we are indeed his people. I'd like to read from a correspondence course I held up earlier, page number 7. The Sabbath identifies who the true God is. God wanted ancient Israel to be sure to remember that he is creator, sustainer, and supreme ruler over all his creation. And so he singled out the Sabbath observance as one great sign by which they would always be reminded of who he is. But this special Sabbath covenant does more than identify the creator. It is also a sign that identifies the true people of God. The Sabbath was to point out who they were. It was the one commandment that would make Israel especially stand out from all other nations. Therefore, it is the crucial test of obedience today, just as it was for ancient Israel, because it identifies those who have surrendered to God. Keeping God's Sabbath shows that we have surrendered our lives to him, that we are willing to keep his day, his instruction, to follow his truths, and to try to live our life by those truths. Romans 12 and verse 1, like Mr. Brockle likes to point out, it's just reasonable service. What else can we do for a creator who's given us life except do our best to serve him, to keep his day that he set apart? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Exodus 19 and verse 5. How does God's Sabbath identify his people? Exodus 19 and verse 5. By keeping the Sabbath, it was to do something. And it does do something for us. Exodus 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God's Sabbath was to set the nation of Israel apart. And today it sets us apart as spiritual Israel in keeping that Sabbath day. Because the nation of Israel was to be a physical type of God's spiritual church. Let me read to you again from the correspondence course. It said, had the Israelites obeyed, they would have become a holy nation, fit and able to teach other nations. It is we who keep God's Sabbath day holy and keep his other commandments who will become God's holy nation and kingdom of priests, when we are born into the kingdom of God at Christ's soon coming. That's not my words. Let's read God's words in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. We need to prove these things. that we are becoming a kingdom, or we becoming a nation of kingdom and priests that God will use to teach his way, just like he had intended with ancient Israel. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, it says, "You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, that is, we were lost, confused, until God opened our minds, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so this weekly day that God made, the Sabbath, identifies him. And as we keep it, and as we strive to do our best to honor that day, reverence the Sabbath day, to turn off the cares of our life, and to focus on God, that we become priests in character. God is building us into those so he can use us to teach, proclaim his way for all of the world, if we're to be teachers. But there's a fourth reason that makes the Sabbath special. The Sabbath pictures God's coming kingdom. The Sabbath pictures God's coming kingdom. Back to the correspondence course, it says, "God has ordained a period of 7,000 years in which to accomplish his spiritual creation of mankind. The time pattern for God's little-known plan is revealed in the first two chapters of Genesis." And you have it in your handout. It's the first section of the handout. It's the seven-day week. The first 6 days of creation clearly correspond to the 6,000-year period of human civilization that we are now nearing the end of. God has allotted mankind 6,000 years in which to learn that disobedience to him results in nothing but suffering and death. God has permitted Satan to exercise dominion over mankind for 6,000 years, in effect saying, "You may labor and do all your work, but the 7,000-year period is my Sabbath. In it, you will not do any work." God intended the weekly Sabbath day to foreshadow the coming 1,000-year period known as the millennium, which will be a time of rest and peace for the entire world from Satan's influence and the resultant discontent, strife, and warfare. We're in 2 Peter. Let's drop on down to chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, this is a principle that we need to keep in mind as we think about the seven-day week and the thousand-year periods that represent that week. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Excuse me, 2 Peter 3, verse 8, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, this is where we get this principle. "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." And then we need to couple that with Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 4. And we can understand what's being talked about when we know the seven-day week. Revelation 20, verse 4. "I saw thrones, and they that sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus, to Jesus, and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Talking of the millennium. The seventh day. The 7,000-year period. "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." And so that's how we understand the seven-day week, through those two scriptures. When we come to Friday night and we begin to appreciate the Sabbath, keep that day, do we realize what we're really portraying? The great kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to rule, establish this earth forever, and eventually God's throne will be brought down to this earth. That's what this day pictures. The great change that will take place in the future very soon. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We read through the book of Hebrews 3 and 4. We're encouraged to keep God's Sabbath day. The writer of Hebrews makes a very tremendous analogy. If Israel's entering the promised land as compared to God's kingdom. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like to read this again from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 7. Hebrews 3 and verse 7. We'll read down through verse 12. Let's see. Hebrews 3, verse 7. And we are God's house if we keep courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear its voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. And so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, referring to the promised land. Verse 19. And so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Now, God did take them in, but they didn't get rid of the nations that were there. And so they never truly had the rest that God intended when they settled the land. The people were constant thorns because Israel didn't follow God's instructions. But this is related to us and our life in Christ. Do we follow the instructions to root out, to put away the sins that are inside, that beset our minds, that we know are there? And with the help of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can put those things out. Or do we become complacent and allow them just to be there and exist like the nations that Israel did not dispossess when they went into the promised land? We have to be careful. Continuing chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Are we going to be like physical Israel and not put out the nations, not put out the sins? Or are we going to take that challenge on and go on towards God's rest? Indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Verse 2, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day. This is the comparison. God's rest for Israel compared to the rest of the Sabbath day. The rest of the kingdom that is to come compared to God's Sabbath day. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. We drop on down to verse 9. Are we striving for that rest? Do we have the goal that Mr. Evans talked about in the first message? There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. The works of overcoming. Because when the kingdom comes, we hope to be changed. And the rest will be from wrestling with sin. The rest will be from struggling against Satan and his influences, against the society that is influenced by that evil being. Because God's truth will transform this world. Continuing from the Bible correspondence course, it says, why would the kingdom of God be pictured as rest? Because a divine member in God's family will be at rest from sin. When born of God's Spirit, we will be free from our present struggles against sin. We will then possess the fullness of the mind and the character of God and be able to remain sinless forever. So God's Sabbath day is symbolic of the kingdom. The Sabbath pictures that coming time. Our little house wren that made its nest on our front porch didn't know the difference between each day. Every day was the same. We know much differently. What's so special about the Sabbath? God created it holy as a gift for us. It reminds us that God is creator and that we are his children. It is our weekly reminder of the coming kingdom of peace. Let's close with Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 and in verse 22. Those that keep the Sabbath day are small in number today. Referring to the mustard seed that God will grow into something that will encompass this whole earth. And we look forward to that time, and we see that pictured here in Isaiah 66 and in verse 22, when all the earth will keep God's Sabbath. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, God's Sabbath will not be changed or abolished. As Christ said, the law will not be done away. So shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.